Welcome to episode 148 of Not a Real Job, a podcast about two guys making a podcast. I am your first host, Joel Kelly.
And I am your third host, Chris Van Patten.
Huh.
The second host is the listener, because we want
I thought
to
it was
going to
be the city of New York.
Mm. Well, it would be if you were here, but you're not.
Right. I'm not. I need to get to New York.
Yeah, you should come.
I always feel better when I'm down there. It's like, oh, cities, life, people. But, you know, it's all that hustle and bustle.
Yeah.
Gets to you.
It certainly does. And that's why last week we didn't record an episode. I was upstate New York for a little away time. Got out on the open water, some kayaking, kind of stuff. Went to the state fair.
Huh. Tell me about state fairs. I've never been to a state fair.
So I had only been to the state fair once when I was a kid. So a long, long time ago, and I didn't really remember too much. But you know what? It's fun. It's a lot of fun. It's, you know, there are rides, of course, carnival rides and games and a lot of food.
Is it as focused on deep fried food as I've been led to believe?
It absolutely is and more. Yeah. So the state fair is primarily, I think, about food. I think that's safe to say. And because of the nature of it, you have like the traditional fried carny food, but you also have a lot of like vendors from across the state. So like there's a section that is basically like 12 different vendors of wine slushies, and the big local barbecue place has a big stand. And so it's a lot of stuff.
Any like
that.
Cleverly offensive names of any businesses or restaurants? I find that can happen a lot in those types of places where you're like, ooh, that's kind of problematic.
So yeah, I mean, no offensive business names that I saw. However, we did play a fun little game, and I'm sure this will be offensive to some people, but whatever. Where you basically, we would sort of walk around the fair, and as we spotted certain items of clothing on people, we would get points. And so, of course, Trump and sort of alt-right things,
right.
A lot of
right.
points for that. I got a point for a Confederate flag t-shirt. So, you know, a lot of stuff like that, which, of course, is great fun.
Well, it's good, and it's harmless. Butter sculpture. Now, this is someone sculpting something out of butter as the medium.
Well, yes. I mean, they had sculpted it.
Okay. So you don't get to watch.
You know, you may be able to, but I was not able to when I was there. The sculpture appeared completely finished.
Does anyone get to eat it, or it's just there?
You know, that is an open question. I did ask, and I did not get an answer. Somebody did say that.
The latest Mabim Bam?
I have not, no.
Okay. There's.
I'm pretty far behind.
There's a good bit about asking officials at a theme park about permission to do something. So anyway,
I could have used that.
Everyone, go listen to the latest Mabim Bam. We'll still be here when you get back.
Yeah. Now
tell me more about butter sculptures. What? But we'll edit that in. Steve, just edit in an hour of silence.
Perfect.
What? What was the sculpture of?
The sculpture appeared to be. So I'm trying to remember this because I didn't look at it too long, if I'm going to be honest. I believe it was a milkman.
Huh.
And you saw it rotates. So it's on a rotating platform. And on one side, there's the milkman like outside the door with the milk. And the other side is what I believe was a parent and a child. And they were very excited about the milk arriving. I may be wrong about this, and if somebody else has been to the Great New York State Fair, as it is officially called, can remind us, please don't.
No, absolutely not. What did you eat?
Well, boy, what didn't I eat? So the dairy building is very popular, so you always go in there, and it's a quarter, and you get milk, and you have to get the chocolate milk, because it's the best, and it's very good. So that sort of whet the appetite. I did have a wine slushy, and it was a swirl. It was a mix of white wine and red wine. That was a lot of fun. Let's see, what else? There was the thirsty cow, I think, or something like that. That was a coffee-flavored vodka mixed with, I believe, ice cream, whipped cream. There was a donut in there. So that was the whole thing. A corn dog, bacon on a stick.
Sure.
Some fried dough, naturally.
Yeah.
Popcorn. And
popcorn seems superfluous at a certain point.
You know what? At the end of the night, there's nothing better.
Nice.
And a pulled pork sandwich.
Ugh. Ugh. Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's delightful.
Yeah, it was good. It was very good.
I saw for the first time over the weekend the Hopewell Rocks. Have you ever heard of those?
I have not. Tell us more.
You should, while I'm talking about this, you should Google the words Hopewell. So it's just hope and well put together. Rocks. Mm-hmm. And you'll see what these are. So these are, they're called the flower pot rocks. And these are just some, like, I'm guessing sandstone or, I'm sure I should probably know what type of rock these are. But as the tides in the Bay of Fundy, the world's highest tides, that's actually disputed, but who cares, have carved out what look like kind of flower pots of rocks. And you can, in low tide, take some staircases down and walk on the seafloor and kind of look at the rocks. And they're basically New Brunswick's most famous scenic attraction. And I had never been before, even though it's very close to Moncton. And it was kind of neat. It was kind of neat. That's how I was in the Hilton Head airport once, and the TSA agent looked at my passport and went, Nova Scotia. I guess he must have looked at my address and said I was there once. I went to the Bay of Fundy. And I was like, oh, that's cool. We have, something to talk about. And he said it was interesting without being exciting. And I thought that was a perfect way of describing it. Yeah, the Bay of Fundy is, and the Hopewell Rocks were interesting without necessarily being exciting, but it was still pretty cool. I'd recommend it. If you're ever in the area, go check them out.
I definitely will do that.
They're big rocks in a context you wouldn't normally get to see them.
Very cool.
And it is pretty cool to just, be able to see the tide level. It is impressive to think about all that water.
Rushing in and out, as it were.
Rushing in a 6-hour, however long a tide cycle is, period, is pretty neat.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah. So I had a potentially a less interesting weekend, and certainly less interesting foods, although I did smoke a bunch of a pork tenderloin over a fire at Leah's parents' cottage and made tacos with homemade tortillas. We made those over the weekend as well, so that was also interesting.
Well, that's great. That sounds lovely.
I think, is this what people listen for?
I think that's what a podcast is.
Food talk, mostly, which we covered, and we talked rocks, and we talked state fairs, so I think all that leaves is apple stuff. So I guess just, I'm trying to get a gauge from you, how excited are you for the new telephones? Because you're an upgrade every 6 month kind of person.
Yeah, I always need to have the latest technology. That's something that people know about me.
Exactly. So are you, which one are you going to get? Are you going to get the big one or the other big one or the one that's
bigger
sounds
still?
Like a bigger still? I think that's called an iPad.
Yeah.
Just get an iPad and use it as a phone.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm not really that excited about the iPhones. I'm not going to get one. I like my small iPhone quite a lot. I'm actually going to try to get the battery replaced before the deadline on the replacements, because I would like it to last me at least another year or two, assuming they don't come out with a new small one. That
seems unlikely.
It seems unlikely, yeah. So I'm going to try to get as much life out of this one as I can. I will say this hasn't been confirmed yet, but I am really excited about the idea of these new iPads. I did see some renders and they look beautiful. The screen seems practically edge to edge.
That's gonna be very cool.
Yeah, that really excites me as somebody who I've long talked about on the show my desire to make the iPad my primary computing device, and I'm not quite there yet, but it seems like when I am at that point that these new iPads are going to be an excellent option.
My brief time with an iPad Pro, I could definitely see it happening, and certainly in traveling and client meetings had gotten down pretty well to just using that. So, yeah, I think it's certainly doable. And, yeah, seeing that screen edge to edge would be so cool.
Yeah. Yeah, the renders look gorgeous. So if, I mean, they're speculative renders, but I think they're supposedly based on case designs and, you know, all that kind of stuff that leaks early. And if the, if it comes to pass that they look anything like those renders, I think it's going to be a pretty impressive device.
What do you think? It might be a circle this time instead of a rectangle.
You know,
big circular iPad.
I would love that.
I think that would be cool. Yeah. I think it's different.
It's bold. It's new.
That's what Steve would have done.
That is exactly what Steve would have done. Yeah. So we'll see. What about everyone else? Are you excited?
Everyone else went rectangle. I'm excited to the extent I'm always excited. I think we've talked about before. A lot of my self-worth comes from whether I have the new telephone or not. Mm-hmm. And by a lot, I mean whatever I have is mostly related to that. The problem is, as we've discussed previously, I just got this phone 6 months ago. So I'm not my business partner is likely not going to allow me to upgrade again. Mm-hmm. But her phone is not looking good these days.
Your business and life partner.
My business and life partner. I'm not sure which side of that partnership will be more opposed. It's always hard to say, but certainly at least one of them is going to be against the idea. But hopefully her phone dies soon and then she can take the 10 and I'll get the 10S, which it's really unfortunate that it's the XS, right?
Yeah. That
seems bad.
We're still not sure. I don't think that has been confirmed yet, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, that hasn't been confirmed yet, but there's also been like a suggestion of a 10R. Like this is going to be interesting. I guess that's what I'm interested about because of the whole 8-10 thing. I'm interested to see what they do because this is the off year where they shouldn't be getting new numbers. So it'll be interesting to see what they do there. And certainly next year is it going to be the 9 and the 11? And that's weird.
Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting. The Apple watchers always seem to have opinions on how Apple should be doing their product names. I think the difference between like the MacBook, MacBook Air, MacBook Pro hierarchy or whatnot, like there are a lot of people with very strong opinions over there. And Apple, I think, almost never seems to do what people think they should do, which is always really interesting to see. So I don't have a bigger point, you know, I don't care too much about the specifics, but it will be interesting to see what they choose there for sure.
Absolutely. And I think that's where my interest and whatever excitement I have comes from, is that they're not only do they often do things that people don't expect, but they're remarkably successful at choosing what the right thing to do is. Or at least, you know, they've got a very good track record for making those decisions. And of course you and I have made fun of them sometimes for the way they've justified decisions. But yeah, it's fun to see a company that's extraordinary. It's fun to watch anyone or anything that's extraordinarily good at what they do. And when those people are also capable of still surprising, I think that's neat. And that's where I let my little consumerist, imagination go is following this sort of thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's good or bad, but I think my sort of interest in Apple keynotes has gone sort of evolved over time. I think at first it was primarily about the products and the things they were creating, but now, like, I don't know if it's my ironic sort of detachment with life in general that has triggered this, but I'm really less interested in the products themselves as I am with like how they're presenting their ideas. I think that's almost more interesting than the products themselves.
That's absolutely the case. Absolutely. And I think for me, because I completely agree with you, for me, I think that comes from two places. One, the products have gotten less interesting because they're just, there hasn't been, as everyone keeps mentioning, there hasn't been like a new iPad or even a new watch for a few years. So there's less to get excited about there of like, there's not going to be something this year likely that's going to be new that we've never seen before. So that's one thing. But, you know, most Apple keynotes haven't included brand new things people haven't seen before. We just, you know, tend to remember those ones. The other one being they're a different company now. And you and I have had this conversation before where now they're the biggest company. so they're doing things that are different and that are interesting for different reasons. Now what they're doing is, you know, how do we make the most goddamn money out of making these products? And as a marketer, I don't even know if it comes from that, but just as a person who's interested in business, I think that's super fascinating for totally different reasons. You know, I'm fascinated by what Johnny Ive's team cooks up, but I'm equally fascinated by what, you know, Phil Schiller's marketing and, you know, the operations people cook up. I think that's just as compelling.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I'm actually really interested. I know we say audience talk to us, but I actually mean it. I would love to hear what the audience thinks, and especially people, because I know we have some fans out there who aren't really business people. You know, they maybe have an entrepreneurial side, but I don't think they have the affinity for business as a concept that you and I do. So I'm really interested, actually, like people out there, like if you're like, what do you take out of Apple keynotes if you follow them? Like, and maybe you don't. Are you more interested in the products themselves? Are you just kind of watching because it's an event now and it's just kind of a thing that everybody does? Definitely interested in hearing from people.
Yeah, no, for sure. And again, I think that second part is, so how, I think a lot of people who are even casually interested in these types of things still don't bother to, you know, sit down and watch a keynote, which, fair. But I am still kind of curious of how that information then trickles out. How does it get mainstreamed? I think I kind of ignore the mainstreaming of Apple News because I've already been on the edge of it, kind of getting the news as it happens. So I'm like, how does it filter down? Where do people find out about the new telephones? I'm always curious about that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, regular people who don't follow these things still seem to know that a new telephone has come out. Did they see it on the news?
Yeah.
Did the radio talk about it?
Yeah, I think that, I guess they that do. Both of those are very likely true. Yeah. Yeah.
Neat.
Cool.
Imagine not obsessively refreshing the internet.
I think it sounds nice. It sounds really nice.
Sounds
actually
blissful. Yeah, everyone who doesn't spend their days on the computer seems to have a different and higher quality experience.
Yeah, that is absolutely true.
Speaking of internet, do we want to talk about I don't know. What do we want to talk about here? We've got a few minutes left, and I think before we get into the gear picks, do we want to talk about the subject of confidence at all, Christopher?
I think we do. I definitely think we do.
So I posted this comment on how would you describe the forum where I posted this?
I think I've casually referenced the DC on this podcast before. That stands for the Dynamite Circle. And it's basically it's not as cool as it sounds. It's a business networking forum primarily targeted at.
I'd say it's exactly as cool as it sounds.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, I mean, as cool as the name sounds, Dynamite Circle, I think, conjures up something more interesting than business. But I think it's primarily targeted at people who are running businesses and especially are running businesses that are sort of lifestyle businesses, which I think can be kind of a derogatory term, but basically businesses that you're not necessarily trying to scale to a unicorn level. So I think it's less about the startup business culture and more about sort of a more sustainable business culture that you don't have to work 100 hours a week for unless you want to, unless that's what you're trying to get out of your business.
Yeah. Yeah, so before we even get into the subject, that thing you said there about lifestyle businesses, I just had one point to make on that. So before I started this business, I was not really part of this, you know, location-independent lifestyle business community. I wasn't really even too aware of the community around it, and certainly had not been aware of the derogatoriness of the term lifestyle business. But what I found since then is I am convinced, I'm not sure, I guess let me correct myself. I don't believe I've ever seen someone say or write lifestyle business in a negative way when it wasn't actually a euphemism for profitable. I have seen, I think, more people use it as a derogatory term of, yeah, that person's running a lifestyle business while I'm over here struggling, crippled under VC obligations and debt from a company that'll never be able to make successful. And it seems like a fuck all those people who are able to have profitable businesses. That's just my thing on the derogatory use of lifestyle business. Almost always seems to be a sour grapes approach. So I don't know if you've seen the same thing, but that's been my experience so far.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. But anyway, all that to say that you posted, you joined recently, which is exciting. I've been a member.
So we're actually going to talk about the
thing. We are actually going to talk about the thing. Yeah. I've been a member for a number of years now, and I think I've probably talked about it to you before. But then you surprised me one day by joining, which was very exciting. And then not too much longer after that, you put up your first post. And maybe you want to talk a little bit about what that was and what inspired that.
Yeah, so I think the big thing that inspired it was finally kind of feeling like having access to a community of business owners that I, you know, wanted to interact with. Not to say that, you know, Halifax and doesn't have its own community of business owners, but one wants to get out of their own backyard as often as possible. So being part of this community, I felt like, you know, I hadn't posted anything other than comments on other people's posts. And really, I think the only other thing I'd commented on was one of yours. So by way of sort of an introduction and to see, you know, how much value I can get out of being part of this forum, I went right for it and was a little vulnerable, maybe too vulnerable, but that's something I always worry about. And straight up kind of ask people for their recommendations or resources or suggestions on how one goes about rebuilding confidence, since that's something that I have definitely, since starting the business, I have experienced what literally everyone who starts a business complains about. But every time I experience something that everyone else experiences, as I think many of us do, we feel like it's a unique problem to us and worry more about it than one should. So I had kind of said, you know, in my previous work, I'd have 6 to 8 meetings every single day, and most of them would be bad. Like, this is not going to go great. And that was fine. I don't recall that getting to me. Now, of course, if I could go back in time, I bet I was in stress agony all the time, but I don't remember it being like that. Now, flash forward, you know, a year and a half, and one meeting that I don't feel great about does ruin a day. And I feel like a lot of that is, when you have a team and when you have a boss and when you have structure and stability, it's a lot easier to have things to lean against at all times. You always have people around who are supporting you, and you always have the sense that that things can only go so off the rails. But when it's you and your business, not that there's ever a safety net, but there seems even more of an absence of that casual kind of ever-present support. So going into a meeting that you don't feel great about, the stakes seem so much higher all the time that I was asking other people about their experience and what they have been able to do to kind of get some confidence back, realize that the world is not ending, every single moment. And I have to say, I was kind of blown away by the quality of the responses I've gotten to date. It's been exceptional.
It's a little, you only posted this a few days ago, so it's a little too soon to say what worked and what didn't, but I'm curious which, and I will say the DC has a strict sort of what happens stays in kind of policy. But if you could kind of summarize maybe for us or restate the points of feedback that resonated with you and that you're at least going to make the effort to try to apply.
Well, I'm going to say the big one is, so one person was very, very like, this is a medical thing. Go see a medical person about it. It's like, totally got that. Already got that under control. That person is correct, but not necessarily helpful because you know, I should have clarified in, yeah, already doing that. Should have, and I should have said that in my original post because it is terrific advice. And if I weren't doing that, that would be the number one thing. I have to say the person who has a business, just coaching people on this sort of thing. He posted a few videos, and he sent me the links to a couple, and they are much more. Me a couple years ago wouldn't have put any stock in that sort of thing. But the more, I guess the word is spiritual aspect and side of things, I am finding more compelling than I ever have. Which I think is really interesting. And that might speak to, that might speak to just how desperate.
Well, yeah, because I think like saying that that wouldn't have resonated with you is maybe the understatement of the century. I think it's something that you would have actively and ferociously resisted.
Yeah, totally. I think that because something is missing that I had had then. And I don't think I realized that I had it, that I had had a constant sphere of social and emotional energy around me in the fact of working in an office and having a team. Once that is removed, a lot more goes with it, I think. And unless you can replace that with people, with bodies, which I'm not going to be able to replace anytime, I think that that emotional connection to other people and feeling supported and feeling like you can be open and honest with people. I think I am now understanding kind of how much of a psychic, how much psychic value that has and what a kind of a psychic loss that can be. So I am, if there's a way to, you know, talk to some dude for an hour every month about feelings, beyond, you know, about the feelings around business, you know, not in a therapeutic sense, but in confidence and motivation around work, then I'm on board to at least give that a try. So that's one thing that the thing that surprises you and I the most is how drawn I am to that. The other thing is that what resonated the most to me was everyone else, almost everyone else saying the exact same thing happened to me, or I'm going through the same thing, or totally understand it. You know, three people, I think, in the thread, or at least two, have businesses around this concept. You know, there's a market. There are enough people like me that we constitute a market. That's, I think, interesting and helpful. And that was probably the most helpful thing, was hearing this is normal. Because that's the thing about anxiety, is not only do you feel anxious about the stressors in your life, but you're also anxious about being anxious and thinking that there's something wrong with you and that it's never going to get any better. That's what anxiety does, is it stacks. So it was a big relief to, while I knew intellectually that my experience was not unique, again, it turns out that there's an emotional component to support as well. And knowing that there's other people out there that experience the same thing and have clearly been able to manage it, or at least deal with it, was good. And yeah, I felt good about that. I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, I think it definitely does. Are there any sort of tactical takeaways? Yes.
Yeah, and I guess this might, I don't want to give too much away, but the achievement journal, biggest thing.
Yeah.
Biggest thing. I don't write down. You know, it's funny. I had been thinking about, you know, if I did a coaching, if I did a coaching session with someone, you know, what would I say? How would I describe the last few years of my life? And I'm going through about a year and a half ago, I quit my job, started this business, hit these revenue goals. You know, if I actually described what I've been through over the last little while, I don't know. I think it sounds not too bad. It doesn't, it certainly, if you write it all down, doesn't sound like failure. So I had that realization of maybe writing this stuff down more regularly will make me stop feeling like such a failure all the time. Because objectively, that's clearly not the case. Objectively, there are people who would who would kill to swap their lives with mine. But my confidence has just been so eroded that that it doesn't feel that way. So I think, and based on what I've read, that writing things down and keeping an achievement journal, which for anyone wondering what that is exactly what it sounds like at the beginning or end of the day, writing down your accomplishments and things you're proud of. Sounds hokey, but I think, as I said just a few minutes ago, I'm on board. I'm a lot more on board with hokey than I used to be. Because that's the thing about anxiety. Whatever works, works. It doesn't matter, whether it sounds silly or not. The symptom is the disease. So if you can cure the symptom, you've made a lot of progress. So I'm on board with writing things down and hoping it'll help. And I think it will.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And it's something that I know that I need to get into more, as well. So yeah, I'm excited for you. I hope you'll keep up with it and check back in a couple months. I think if anyone listening out there is kind of feeling similar things, I think it's so valuable to just keep a log of what you've actually accomplished. Small to large things, you know, it's so valuable. Anytime you, not only the act of doing it, but also like when you need that little boost, you can go back and revisit and be like, oh yeah, you know, I feel really crappy this week, but here are all the things I've done in the past week, month, whatever. Like, I think that's super valuable.
Well, it's even those things, like, even if it sounds goofy, that there is so much, there's someone who says, like, I can't think of the phrasing for it, but, you know, your actions change the way you feel. That the act of doing something can eventually make it work. Even if it seems silly to be writing an achievement journal, it can still work. I even just the other week, I was like, okay, Leah, for this week, I'm not a moron. I am going to go into every situation thinking I actually know what I'm talking about, and we'll just see how that works. And you know what? I felt better.
Yeah, like, I mean, there is a lot of scientific, you know, reproducible research about the idea of fake it till you make it. It actually works. And that, I think, for people who are very rational like us, can be kind of hard to accept and be like, oh, that's so silly. But
yeah,
the evidence is there. It actually does the thing. And to your point about the idea of like actions fueling emotion, it works the other way as well. You do better if you feel better. So I think they kind of feed each other, and hopefully over the long term create a cycle of optimism and confidence and courage and success and all that kind of stuff.
Here's one last point, and the one that if I hope this helps someone else, because I want it to work for me and I still haven't gotten there, but I think it's the single biggest thing that is hurting me now, is the concept of purposeless play, purposeless recreation, and being able to get your head around that, because I still am not there. I have a very hard time doing anything if it doesn't feel productive, which means I burn myself out constantly. I have a very hard time even reading a fiction book, because I'm thinking, well, if I'm reading, I should be reading something that I'm learning. I play video games in spurts. Like, you know, I'll play a video game for a bit, but then go months without doing it because I can never justify that time. And that's dumb and not helpful. And clearly makes everything worse. So I mean, if you can get your head around that, that's a big one. And don't, you know, it's straight up workaholism. There's a phrase for that problem. So if you can try to keep that under control before it gets too far, I recommend it. I'm working through that now. I am finally accepting. I might be a workaholic, and it may be holding me back more than it's helping.
Yeah, I've definitely resisted that for a very long time. So I completely understand.
Cool. Well, I hope that helps people. And this can sound a bit of a downer, but I think it's good to talk about, because there are so many if you're listening to this, and this sounds crazy, well then that's cool. You're lucky, but it's much more likely that you're listening to this and feeling that it's very, very relatable. Because I think this is it, most of us go through some variation on this, and really the spectrum is only of severity. But I think everyone, all of us get a taste of this from time to time. So hopefully yeah. This is helpful to to know that we're all working through it together.
Absolutely. And if you are out there, are
communities out there too.
Yeah, definitely. There are other people who feel these kinds of things and talk about it. So yeah, I mean, if you're out there and this resonates with you, definitely let us know. And we'd love to hear from you and talk to you about it, and hopefully help you get through it.
Nice. Nice, nice, nice. Well.
Well.
On to what the people come here for.
The commercialism.
They want to know what we like to buy. So yeah, we should tell them.
We should. So this is the part of the show where we recommend gear or whatever, things that you can buy on Amazon.com. And if you buy through our referral link, which we'll put in the show notes at notarealjob.com, you can we get a fraction, a tiny percentage of that. And that helps us. Well, it doesn't really help us make the show, but we enjoy doing it, so whatever. Joel, what have you got to share with the people this week?
I have a book, and it's yet more DC related, actually. It is a book called Before the Exit: Thought Experiments for Entrepreneurs, written by Dan Andrews.
Interesting. Yeah, I actually was thinking of recommending that myself, so you beat me to it. Well,
I win. It's a great book. It's very short. It's a, you know, I think it's a couple hour sit down and read. But I really like those types of books. I like books that realize they have one point to make and make it well.
Yeah.
And this is one of those books. It makes its point well. If you've ever thought about selling your business or have made that kind of your goal, this is an extremely good book to read. I'm not going to say it will dissuade you or discourage you from that, but I think it gives you very, very good ways to think about that you may not have. I just love how they talk about the fact that they thought that selling their business, that, you know, all of their problems would go away and be replaced with money. And it was like, that's totally what you imagine happens. But they go through in interesting levels of detail. Some of it quite a bit more detail than I would have expected on some of, you know, their conversations that they had around selling their business. But also at a really good high level of abstraction about, like the book subtitle, it's thought experiments. It's ways to think about how you're running your business and why you would want to sell it and what your lifestyle kind of needs to make that successful. So super, super recommend it.
Yeah, I agree completely. I was actually at DCBKK, which is their annual conference in Bangkok, a couple years ago. And it was the year they actually announced at the keynote at the conference. I believe it was the announcement, but they might have announced it before. And then they shared some details that I can't reshare here. But a lot of excitement about that. And I think that I still believe that they are at peace with that decision, but it's really interesting to read this, especially in contrast with knowing like what a big move it was for Dan and Ian and hearing from them how excited they were, and then you know, kind of over time has passed how they're reflecting on that now. So I definitely second that recommendation.
Awesome.
I am also going to recommend a book, and I'm reasonably sure that I've recommended it on the show before, but Joel and I were actually talking about it before the episode and he hadn't remembered it. So I'm just going to put it back out there. The book is Simple Numbers. It is a really great book. It's another one that kind of makes its point and gets out of the way, although it does have a lot of step-by-step in there as well, which is certainly useful. But basically, it is a framework for building a profitable business by emphasizing profit and putting profit first. And it is Not Profit First, which is another book of a mm-hmm. Very similar topic, very similar approach. But yeah, it's a really excellent one. It really resonated with me in a way that actually Profit First didn't. And I think it's just, they're just very similar ideas. And it's just that the writing in Profit First didn't resonate in the way that Simple Numbers did. But either way, you know, I guess I'm recommending both of those books because I think they're both, you know, I know a lot of people who have committed to one of those systems and really find it helpful and valuable. And so pick one and go with it. And yeah, and I hope that it brings you profit.
Awesome. Good recos.
Cool.
Where can people find the rest of the information about this show?
I'm going to give you one link this week and one link only, so stay tuned. NotARealJob.com. Everything you need to know is there. We've got an about page. We've got a contact page. We've got links to our Twitters. We've got all the episodes, every single one. We've got the gear picks. Everything you need, NotARealJob.com. And yeah, that's all I have to say about that.
Perfect. Good enough. Hope you all have a great, whenever you listen to this, rest of your week. And write in. Let us know what you're thinking about what we had to say today. And tell us if you're excited about those new telephones or not.
Yeah. There you go.
Which one are you going to buy?
We want to know.
Exactly. All right. Bye, everybody. Not a Real Job is sponsored by Van Patten Media.
And The Family Knife.
Van Patten Media builds websites and web applications for businesses who care about intuitive and effective user experiences. Its sister agency, Tomodomo, does the same, with a focus on online communities and social applications.
And if you want to do more marketing in-house but need the tools, strategies, or support to do it, The Family Knife is the partner you need to build your marketing capabilities and grow your business.
You can find Van Patten Media at vanpattenmedia.com.
And you can find The Family Knife at familyknife.com.
For more information on being a sponsor of Not a Real Job, visit notarealjob.com/sponsorships.